Why I value wilderness is because they're areas where those ecological processes are the least impacted by people. So there's always some impacts, whatever we're doing to climate or, you know, big scale events can obviously affect wilderness as well. But they tend to be areas where we're not going to move in and build houses and build roads and things like that. So processes that have been going on since the last ice age or before are free to go on.
That's Kitty LaBounty, a botanist who has worked in the Tongass National Forest since the early 1980s, classifying vegetation and keeping an eye out for unusual, invasive, and sensitive plants. On this trip into the wild, LaBounty and fellow naturalist Matt Goff were on a mission to collect baseline data for wild vegetation as well as invasives.
We're up above Rust Lake, and what we're doing here really is trying to do a biological inventory. What plants are here? We're looking mostly, we kind of prioritize. So we're looking for sensitive plants, we're looking at invasive plants, things that seem like they're of some biogeographical interest.
This biological inventory, she says, is sort of a canary in a coal mine, a way to monitor ecosystem health over time. Because wilderness and non-wilderness areas have similar vegetation, LaBounty says her field data can be compared with other, more intensively managed land.
In the rest of the Tongass National Forest, there's actually been some pretty good inventories. And mostly that was driven by management activities. So any areas that were set to be logged or there was mines or different kinds of activities like that did pretty good surveys. The wilderness areas weren't done extensively and haven't been done extensively because there's not a lot of management activity. So it's kind of like triage.
Back in the field, LaBounty and Goff say this triage plays an invaluable role in collecting information about wild flora, even if sometimes the process isn't all too scientific.
Here's a squish plant.
And then you have all sorts of different things in the top of your pack.
There's a few different mosses in here. I guess this isn't the ideal way to collect, stuffing things in the top of your backpack, but if you remember to sort them pretty often and we mark them with the GPS, then we can go back.
Jay Jensen is the U.S. Deputy Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment. He says the study of wilderness flora and fauna offers a unique perspective on global climate change.
The types of trees, where the stands of these trees begin, start and stop, are changing, and so we need these. We need to understand what, without the touch of man, you know, what is naturally happening within climate change on its own, and to help us figure out what the best steps forward as we unravel the great big mysteries around climate change.
Jensen adds, beyond an indicator of climate change, areas like the West Chichagof-Yacobi Wilderness may offer possibilities we haven't yet considered.
There's plenty of plants and animal and species that we have yet to discover and unlock their secrets, and so not only from a simple standpoint of trying to get what these plants have in terms of their perhaps uses for science and medicine and other pieces, but to help us unlock the connectivity and biodiversity between species and with the land, really help us figure out how to manage other parts of pieces of the land out there.
This whole effort is in response to a 10-year plan to improve wilderness stewardship practices. And with the 2014 deadline for improvements just around the corner, there's still a lot of ground to cover, plants to count, and solitude to measure. Reporting from the West Chichagof-Yacobi Wilderness near Sitka, this is Lily Mahalik.